You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host, Ashley, and today I'm joined by return guest Julia Helena Haddis. You may recognize her from our episodes where we discuss some of her other works, such as Witchcraft Cocktails and Moon Magic Mixology. And Julia is also a certified Reiki, crystal, and energy worker, and I'm so stoked to have her back on the show. So welcome back, Julia. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And actually, you saying that reminded me that I did that energy work session on you a while ago. Yes. I kind of forgot about that.
Yes. So if anybody's looking for an energy work session, I highly recommend Julia. Please check her out.
Thank you. I'm glad you loved it so much. I remember you wrote like this glowing review. I still have to post, but...
Oh, no. Of course. Well, today we're going to be talking about her newest book, Mystical Mocktails, and we're actually going to be doing a giveaway as well. So we'll be sharing some more information about that at the end of the episode. So yeah, Julia, I guess we should start before we get into the book. For those who are hearing from you for the first time, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I mix my magical and mixology practice. So of course, as a young teenager, I got into witchcraft, started working at a witch shop, you know, doing energy work, tarot readings. And when I became of legal age, as I was transferring colleges, I got into mixology. And this was about a decade ago or so, which is weird to say as we get older. I know we're still relatively young, but
yeah, there you
it feels weird sometimes. Yeah. And immediately when I got into the mixology scene, really learning about the history of mixology, how each spirit's made, I naturally saw, like, you know, if I'm making a drink, that why not combine different herbal ingredients together if they're edible that are for a specific intention, right? If I mix jasmine, chamomile, cinnamon for abundance, I can also put that in a drink. And that can also be with both cocktails and mocktails. So kind of been doing that for like the last 10 years.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I have personally gotten super into mocktails over the last, oh my gosh, almost 2 years, I would say. So I was super excited when this book was coming out. And I do have a copy of the book. And right before we had the recording for this episode, I was telling Julia, I was like, honestly, I'm so impressed with this book. You took the photos yourself, right?
I did, yes.
And they're beautiful. Like, they are so beautiful. They're so aesthetic. Like, the drinks look so fabulous. The recipes look great. Everything looks awesome in this book. I'm honestly so impressed. And as somebody, like I said, getting into mocktails, I was so excited to have this book. So yeah. I'm stoked for it. I wanted to ask, like, I guess, so what was your motivation behind this book? I know some of your previous ones involved having alcohol in them. And so this one not having alcohol is a little bit of a change. What was your thought process behind it?
Yeah. And thank you so much for your kind words, because like, it's just so exciting to be able to do my own photography, but also like, this is the book where I've had the most creative control I've had to date. So before, when I even got into mixology, the witchcraft shop I worked at, we held AA meetings in the back and on weekends, and I'd be the person that would open up the shop, you know, interact with them, order their books. And some of my coworkers at the shop were part of AA as well. And so when I got into mixology, I had to learn to like make non-alcoholic versions, because my Polish heritage, it's sacrilegious if someone doesn't eat or drink something that you've made. So rather than be the typical, you know, Slavic offended woman, you know, I learned how to make non-alcoholic options that way they could partake. And so when I did write Witchcraft Cocktails, I did originally include in the proposal proposal non-alcoholic versions of the drinks. But in the end, that was 2020. And in combination with the timeline I had to write that book and just the fact that mocktails were not a big thing back then, publisher didn't really want to put the extra time to be able to include them in there. And it was always something that kind of bothered me because it was always a part of my journey. And especially, you know, about a year, almost 2 years ago now, my partner got sober himself. And I've always included, unless it was like, you know, old fashioned, which is a little more complicated, you know, mocktail versions of different recipes on my blog to be inclusive of everyone. So I've been like, I tried to pitch it, you know, a couple times over the last few years, like, hey, I want to like do this book project. And it wasn't really until the last couple of years, like mocktails really picked up. And I think that's a big part of like non-alcoholic spirits. And luckily we found another publisher who was willing to work with me on the project. And so it's kind of like, for me, it's like this piece of myself that like got left out years ago. And so to be able to go back and focus solely on mocktails and the things that were left out, but also I think things came together in the perfect timing because 2020, there weren't the non-alcoholic spirits like there are today. And so that allowed a lot more creativity in approaching some of the recipes.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the timing was great, like you said. I mean, in 2020, I know a lot of people were getting drinks DoorDashed to themselves. I lived in an area where that wasn't a thing legally. And then, you know, COVID happened and all of a sudden I can DoorDash myself sangria. So I was drinking a little bit more back then. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was drinking more back then just because of like the novelty of it. And also I couldn't leave the house.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big drinker in general. If I do drink, I'm a social drinker. And,
yes,
you know, I just don't go out as often as I used to when I was in my early 20s and such. And I guess pre-COVID. And so I think the reason I've gotten so into mocktails and why I was so excited for this, especially blending witchcraft with it. But when I'm at home, sometimes I want like a nice fancy drink, but I don't want a soda. Yes. And I don't want water, but I don't want to like have a drink either. Cause like I said, I'm a social drinker. I don't really like drinking at home by myself. Like I'd rather go out with friends somewhere. And so I realized like mocktails were a great way to engage in that, like have like a fancy drink at home and kind of, yes, make it feel special. And it wasn't just like my same old Crystal Light packet I was throwing in my water. And then blending this with witchcraft too. I mean, I was like, genius. Like, so I'm actually stoked that it didn't work out previously of adding mocktails with your previous book to the extent you probably would have wanted, because the fact that you have a book solely on mocktails speaks to my soul and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. And I agree, because honestly, like the way that this whole book came together, like I said, this is the most creative control I've had to date. So I was really able to do things that I've wanted to be talking about for a while for mixology in general, like whether it's about mocktails or not. And so being able to do that in this book, like I am really, everything came together in the perfect timing. And sorry, I'm just flipping through the pages and I know I mentioned this earlier ahead of the recording, but it just smells so good because there's literally a photo for every single drink, which was like wild to me that they wanted that, but that's what we did.
I know, and I think that's so important too, because like sometimes, you know, when you like go to a restaurant and like, or like a bar and you see something somebody ordered across the way and you're just like, oh my gosh, whatever that is, like I want it. I think like sometimes when you have books that are with recipes that they don't have the photo of it, like so you don't always know if it's going to turn out right or if you make it correctly, if it doesn't look like the picture. And so being able to kind of like visually see like this is what it should look like sometimes before I even actually read what's on it, it kind of helps me make a decision, yeah, if I want that one or not.
Yeah. And I love too, because the creativity I was able to explore in this book, there's like a number of ways I try to include magical elements beyond just like the ingredient associations, but also being able to capture that in the photography of like that imagery process of like, okay, how do I capture the magical aspect of this drink, selecting the crystals that would align to that recipe, garnishes, candles, like all those different things to kind of emit a bit of like the magical aspect of it.
The photography in this book is so nice. This would even make like a great coffee table book, honestly. It's yeah, so nicely done. But yeah, I do want to talk about the magical aspects of the book too. So I wanted to mention, I really love that you have different sections, not just about a recipe for a mocktail and the correspondences with it, but I love that you have sections on like different salts and garnishes and syrups and spices, yes, and even ice cubes. I was like, oh my God, you really thought of everything, yes, with this.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you noticed that, because that was one of the things that like I'd always wanted to do in my previous books, was to dive deep into a particular area and I just hadn't been able to do that. And so they allowed me to do that in this book. And so really, yeah, there's like this whole, they're like, we call them like 10 mindful spirituality rituals, but they really dive into the ways that you can connect your drink recipes to other rituals. You can make it as simple or as complicated as you like. And like you said, the different types of salts, you know, and things like even the ice cube. Like, I know there's a whole section talking about like ice cube magic and stuff like that. But like even one of the recipes I was just looking at, because it's on my mind because of where we are at in the timeline, the rose and maple daiquiri, and like finding innovative ways to replace alcohol. And so like that one uses rose tea ice cubes as like a little bit of like a love spell, because as the ice melts, you know, it kind of like brings in that love and harmony into the recipe because they're rose tea. So anyway, it's a lot of fun elements and creative stuff like that I tried to really include with each recipe, and in those breakout sections diving deep into how you can align like the sweeteners that you put in your drinks to, you know, sweetening spells and things like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing that you even have some things on like self-care recipes, like including like a bath ritual, which I mean a bathtub with yes. like different salts and herbs is kind of just like a gigantic tea cup that you're putting yourself into. It actually reminded me, like during the pandemic, I think everybody had like a pandemic project that they were working on, and the pandemic project I was attempting to work on but it never took off, aka I never actually did much with it, was I was trying to make a spell infused bath bombs, so like with different herbs and such in it. Ooh. That it's kind of like a spell and a bath bomb that they could just like drop in and soak in that. It didn't pan out because I only did like 2 batches of the bath bombs, and then I realized it was a lot of work, and
yes.
I was not that great at making them. Anyway, going back to it, when I saw the different bath salts and scrubs and the bath ritual that you had, it kind of transported me back to that. And I was like, oh, that was like such a fun idea. And like, that, it's such a cool concept to think about doing. Because really, like, there's correspondences for magic and everyday little things. And having like a resource like this book, I think is really great to help us remember that and be able to engage yes. in magic every day.
Yeah. And it's really about like bringing the magic both within and without. You know, I think a lot of times like kitchen witchery stuff gets underplayed in modern witchcraft. Like, oh, it doesn't have a fancy candle or a nice fire element. But like really when you think about it, like what you imbibe, your body breaks down. And so when you infuse that energy and intention and it's aligned, and then you drink that and put that into your body, and like what does liquid symbolize? We all talk about like charging your moon water, right? So I mean, it's just so powerful in aligning your body to the energy of what you're trying to bring in your life. And then there's a lot of cool ways that, okay, if you already have those ingredients, how can I cross use those in other little spells or rituals? And now the energy within and also without is imbued with my intention. So I really like it. That way it's also like as simple or as complicated as you'd like to do. Like the other night, I made that lunar passion recipe from the book. So fucking delicious. Ooh. Right? So sometimes you just want I know. I live streamed it and I was like, God, it was so good. Yeah, I'm trying to do like this mocktail Monday thing. Like,
oh, obviously, I love I'm that.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to do a couple recipes from the book, but also like the reason why I wanted to do it is because non-alcoholic spirits are so complicated and they're not accessible for everyone. So one thing I did in this book is the majority, if not all the recipes where I include non-alcoholic spirits, they're optional. Like I'll either include some substitutes in the paragraph preceding it or include it as optional in the recipe because I realize like not everyone has access to it. But also non-alcoholic spirits themselves, it's like more or less when it comes to alcohol, like a vodka can replace a vodka, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little bit different quality, but you can still kind of substitute them out for each other. When it comes to non-alcoholic spirits, they're all made so differently that it doesn't quite work that same way. And sometimes they might taste not so great at first, but then you try them with the right recipe, it actually works amazingly for some reason in a specific recipe. So I kind of wanted to start exploring different non-alcoholic spirits because they get expensive to invest in, you know, like some of them are like $30 or $40 a bottle.
Yeah,
like,
they are expensive sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And so investing in something you're not sure you're going to like, you know, actually part of that is too, is like one of the first stories is I was making recipe development for establishment. And so I was creating both cocktail versions and mocktail versions of the recipes. And I was like, okay, I've learned how to make mocktails. You know, like I said, when I did, I would use teas, syrup, shrubs to bypass the need for, you know, replacing whatever the alcohol represented in that drink recipe. But when I was doing recipe development for this gig, I was like, let me try some non-alcoholic spirits because it might make it easier for staff. You know, it's going to be hard to keep a tea, you know, on hand for weeks at end.
Yeah.
And at the first couple of bottles I tried of the non-alcoholic spirits, they were like $40. I won't name the brand, but they were so bad I had to return them. And I have never done that in my life with any spirit I've bought. I've always found a way to work with it. So like, it's just hard. But then you learn how to work with them and you find some good ones. So that's why I made them optional in the book, because it can really elevate a drink recipe, but you do have to find the right ones. And so I'm hoping to explore that a little bit through live streaming on Mocktail Mondays, like taste test some more non-alcoholic spirits, how to use them and stuff like that.
I've ordered mocktails at bars before and they're the same cost as if it had alcohol. And I'm like, at that price point, I might as well just get the actual alcohol. But I have never actually tried a non-alcoholic spirit that tastes like vodka or rum or whatever. I think because I've been kind of like nervous to try it, but I'm thinking now it might not be a bad idea to try it in a bar, for example, and see how I like how it's mixed before maybe committing to an actual bottle.
Yeah. Well, and now you know why it costs just the same at a bar, because honestly, like the non-alcoholic spirits, and it must be the way that it costs them to produce it, right? So like something like non-alcoholic or de-alcoholized wine, they basically make wine most of the time if it's de-alcoholized and then remove the alcohol afterwards through some method. And so as someone who's worked at a distillery, I look at that and I'm like, okay, great. This is wonderful for them because it's wine. So it's a lesser percent of alcohol. So when you remove the alcohol, it keeps its flavor profiles more or less. And then when you distill off the alcohol, they can also resell that alcohol to another brand to use. So they're really like not using a lot of profit for them. And a lot of de-alcoholized wines are actually pretty approachable. Like one of my favorite things is de-alcoholized sparkling white wine. It's like $10. It's low calorie. So fucking delicious. I can't get over it. But with non-alcoholic spirits, like it gets complicated because they can't really do that, right? They can't take something like wine and then like, you know, otherwise it's going to be de-alkalized wine, not the non-alcoholic spirit, because the spirit's defined by the alcohol. So I think a lot of times the production cost is the reason why those bottles cost so much. And then when establishment uses it, it keeps the price point because the non-alcoholic spirits, honestly, oftentimes more expensive than what you'd buy a bottle of alcohol for. But that being said, like obviously there are bars or establishments that make mocktails that don't use non-alcoholic spirits, and those should be priced lower because you can do it. It's just a little more like, you know, of experimentation required.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I'm thinking of magical practices. A lot of them have historically involved having alcohol. Most specifically, I'm thinking of like wine. How do you think that like removing alcohol or replacing it with one of these spirits can shift magical work? Do you think it can have the same effect or the same vibe to it? Or do you think it creates like a new adventure? I don't really know the word to use, but...
I mean, obviously, spiritual practices across the world, the vast majority have some kind of mind-altering substance that was imbued in their practice to communicate with the other side, that took a variety of different forms, you know, that we're aware of today. But a lot of these ancient practices, no matter what mind-altering substance they were using, if it was something like beer, wine, alcohol, or plant spirits, mind-altering chemicals, there were like guides and rules and regulation around how those things were used. And this comes from back when I was getting my anthropology degree. You know, it wasn't just something that you did every day. It was like reserved for ceremony, you know, specific occasions or celebrations. Part of the reason why I love the work that I do is it's bringing the meaning back to the spiritual practices, the spiritual roots of these ingredients. But a lot of our culture has kind of like removed that meaning at large from those beverages. And there's kind of not a lot of intentionality. And as a result, you know, there's a lot of people who can't partake in alcohol mindfully, right? So there's people like, for example, my husband who had to go sober, is he wasn't able to stop drinking whenever he did it. And, you know, he's a great guy. Like, I don't mean to like say that all from a negative perspective, but it's just like some people, you know, we just aren't able to have that stopping mechanism. And so everyone's really different. Our bodies are different, where we're at and different. Like if you're depressed, you really shouldn't be drinking alcohol because it can enhance things like that. And again, I'm not a licensed medical practitioner, but to say that, like, we need to be intentional about how and when we choose to drink alcohol, if at all. And having non-alcoholic options is great for that, because at least you have the choice, you know, whether or not you're someone that partakes in having alcohol sometimes, like myself when I'm not pregnant.
definitely not when you're pregnant.
So having mocktails for that is great. But like, I wasn't a crazy drinker then either. To me, it was about like the cocktail and intentionality. So I'd really enjoy only have a couple every so often. Yeah. So that being said, you know, it's really important to be mindful of whether or not and how that interacts with you, whether or not you should be having alcohol. And when you remove the alcohol, you still have all of these magical ingredients, right? So like, we know in witchcraft that we use herbs for different intentions. Like I said before, with cinnamon's popular for fast luck, right? Lemon spells for cleansing and stuff like that. And so when you put that in your drink, you're still connecting to those herbal ingredients, their magical potential, and you're still imbibing it and putting it into your body. So it really is just as powerful. You know, obviously you just don't have the mind altering impacts unless you put some other kind of
concoction.
If you're California sober, but the one big difference I will say it makes is that when you do remove the alcohol, it's really with mocktails, they have to be made fresh. So a lot of times with cocktails, I was able to like pre-batch a bunch, keep it in the fridge or in the freezer. And with mocktails, they just don't have that same preservative. So you have pretty much drink them as soon as possible. But other than that, I mean, it's just like the Lunar Passion yesterday that I'm so good. And it makes you feel amazing because you're really connecting to those benefits of those plants, especially when you're using something like a tea to replace the alcohol, or like coconut water, which is so hydrating and it's great for the moon. There's so many fun ways to replace the alcohol, and it opens up so much creative possibility that really sometimes I think you can make more elevated beverages that would be much more elevated than they would be as a cocktail.
Well, I will say on your point of you have to make it fresh, that's totally fine with me. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back in just a moment.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
All right, and welcome back. You were talking a bit about like intention setting and the different ingredients. And so I should ask, how does intention setting transform one of these modules? Something, you know, we just drink because we're at hanging out with friends or something, into something that we're working with magically. Does there have to be some sort of energy put into it or mindfulness? Or how do you see that part playing out?
There's a couple of different layers. And so one thing I did want to be aware of in this book is, and keeping with, again, the themes of accessibility, the same reason I made non-alcoholic spirits optional for a lot of the drinks is, you know, some people are going to want to just open up a recipe book and just make the freaking recipe, which sometimes drives me crazy, I won't lie, because I'll get comments, like, I can tell when someone's read my previous books, you know, based off of what they say to me on it. I'm like, well, if you read the front matter, but this is one of the things with recipe books. So I didn't want to make it that way if someone really just didn't want to invest a whole lot of time, just really wanted to make something on the fly and keep things as accessible as quick as possible. In the drink recipes, a number of key ingredients list the magical intention on there. There's three optional affirmations to choose from. One aspect of it, mocktails have a higher water content to them, just by nature. And so with the higher water content, magically we think of charging water with energy and things like that. So adding each ingredient, first of all, with intention and being aware of why you're adding it in that recipe. And if you want to go the extra step of connecting to that ingredient, so smelling it, holding it, just feeling its energy, you can take that extra time. You don't have to, but still adding it with intention. And then furthermore, with the affirmation, it's kind of like charging the water of the recipe. There are parts in the book that like dive deeper into ritualizing the whole process. So there is the section, chapter 4, mixing mocktail magic. And it really talks about imbuing each step of like making even a simple non-alcoholic mojito, how would you imbue that with intention? You know, the muddling process of muddling down the mint expressing the oils, the refreshing quality of mint into, you know, the sugar that's sweetening. And so already starting this whole like relaxation process and connecting to the meaning of those ingredients as you're doing. Anyway, so you can get nerdy about this stuff. I was like, I could talk all day. So there's like a lot in there. Someone wants to dive deep into adding intention to that process. Because part of like, for me, getting in, for us probably, I imagine for you too, getting into witchcraft before it got like popular online, is going in person to rituals and mm-hmm. dance and movement were a big part of like raising energy, right? And so that's a lot of mixology is physical acts that raise energy. If you're squeezing a fresh citrus, right, using that squeezing moment to think of what you're purifying away with that added herbal ingredient that's aligned to your intention, you know, the lemon, like, and then you're doing that with intention. It's just enhancing that moment and directing energy flow. And then also you're drinking this potion. So there's just so many ways. It's like, obviously, you know, if you want to keep things surface level, you can just kind of be aware. I break it down for you of how that ingredient is aligned to your intention, but you can really also like imbue it with more energy. Because obviously as an energy worker, you know, like when I can feel like when I'm really connecting with plant spirit of an ingredient.
Yeah, and I do want to just put a pointer that if you go through this whole process and maybe you're not feeling the energy, you know, most people who are listening to this have probably had a drink in their hand while they're dancing the night away at a club. So
yeah.
you can always, you know, drink with it in your hand. Because I mean, I know I've done that. I'm not saying everybody listening has probably done that, but you know, most people have probably, you know, shimmied along the dance floor with a drink.
Yeah. But I gotta be honest though, I don't mean to like talk myself up. I think it's hard to make one of these drinks and not feel something. But that also could be like, I'm drinking the ones that I make. And I also know for myself, like as a bartender or when I do an event every once in a while, you know, and I'll make a drink for someone. Like I've been told before that I've ruined cocktails for someone because like nothing will ever compare.
That's so
I know it is. And so it's like, I don't know if it's just because I'm making it or if it's the recipe itself, you know, that I did also create. So, you know, I don't really have that differentiation, but it's like, these are so packed with like these aligned herbal ingredients, like a little pinch of spice, you know, rose. I'm looking at like the rose quartz harmon tea, which it sounds weird to say out loud. It's funnier to read on the paper because it's harmon tea instead of harmony. But
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. And all of these things too. It's like, it's really not wild because like when I started this book, my anthropology side of my brain, and I'm totally aware this was a bachelor's degree years ago. So like I'm out of touch with the modern industry. I think it's important to preface that, you know, like when you got a degree, however many years ago, it's been a while. I'm not in academia anymore. But like,
hey, it's still valid.
Yeah. It's important to me to be able to like research things and find historical context for them. And so when I was trying to do this book, I really wanted to find historical examples of non-alcoholic drinks, which is a little hard because you have to look at like scientific studies, which is one about resources. So if you can go through your library, that's great. But trying to find those scientific studies and not necessarily just articles people write on their blog, the word drink is like oftentimes you just get alcohol, right? And so I already know all about the history of alcohol and ancient spirituality. That's what I've written about in my previous books and things like that. So I really had to dig into creative ways to find things that were non-alcoholic. And a lot of times part of that is also just because of the organic matter and the way it breaks down. It has to have a specific chemical composition. So something like caffeine would be easier to trace chemically because of some of the chemical compositions of it. So there's a lot of like ancient caffeine drinks like yerba mate that have, like, it's really just the yerba mate itself is a ritual in South American countries around Argentina and stuff, and my grandma lived there for a while. And so it's like there are a lot of these examples, or you can think of the Japanese tea ceremony, and there are a lot of these rituals that revolve around non-alcoholic drinks. It's just we don't often think of them, and so you have to like search a little harder to find them, and then you're like, oh yeah. And part of that is too, I will say, like, just to check, keep things in check, as part of it is it's hard to get access to clean water in the ancient days, and so like the fermentation and like beer, early beer was part of the reason how they had safe drinking water and stuff like that.
We've talked a lot about how there are different ingredients that are associated with different correspondences and how we could use it magically. But I also know there's a large proportion of the audience for this podcast that are completely new in witchcraft and might be a little intimidated by the thought of getting started. I know I definitely face that myself. So for those that might apply to, how can this book just kind of gently invite them into this type of practice?
Yes, I think this is actually the best way to do it. Part of it is we're already drinking beverages already, right? And so in the front matter of the book, I spent a lot of time really intentionally selecting information to help you connect to the magic that you put in your cup, no matter what it is, even if it's coffee, even if it's water, even if it's just a simple like rose tea, you know, whatever it is. That front matter, not just talking about the historical context, can help you see how these moments of whatever you imbibe can really be a magical ritual in itself, but also how it aligns to things like your spirituality. What's the symbol of the cup, the chalice for what you bring into your body, into your life? And so whether or not you decide to make a layered, fancy mocktail or just keep things kind of simple, I think really reading through the book and finding that magic in there, it's going to make getting back into, you know, witchcraft or your practice, it's accessible, and it really makes you think about something that you already do every day that you don't really think about of in a magical way.
I love that explanation. I think that there's magic in the mundane all the time, but sometimes you just have to kind of keep your eyes peeled to notice it.
Yeah, it's hard in our modern life, like where everything is just so freaking quick, you know? And it's just like, even sometimes with the seasonal transitions, although maybe this does depend on where you are in the world, because I've lived in, you know, California and then also now in Arizona. But it's just like the world is so quick. It's just hard sometimes to be present in the moment. And I think really using something you already do every day, like a beverage, to just pause and connect to where you're at, which is what a lot of these drinks are, they include reflections and things like that, can help you really bring that like magical moment into any day.
Oh, I love that. I do want to ask now, what do you hope that listeners can take away from this book?
I really do hope, well, there's so many things that I would want people to take away. Like I said, with the most creative control I've had, like I've really put a lot in here and try to include it in a way that there's surface level pieces. And by surface level, I don't mean that they're meaningless, but I mean like if you really just want easy things you can do, it's in there, you know, or if you want to go deeper, it's also in there too. But part of it is overall, just the magic of what you put in your beverages. And also being able to offer accessibility and options for everyone, because everyone really does deserve a drink at the table. And so having something for people who aren't drinking alongside the alcoholic cocktails is important. I will say, like, we recently got married, my partner and I, and like, we had the official celebration. My family's Polish, okay, and they drink a lot. And it was just so awkward because my partner sober and I'm pregnant, so I couldn't drink, and there just wasn't that inclusion. So of course, luckily I was there. I was able to like make sure like my partner and I were cared for. But I think it's just so important to like be more aware, include options for everyone, because these are delicious drinks with or without alcohol, and being able to create space and community and connection is really important, especially in our magical practices.
I love that phrase that you said, like, everybody deserves a drink at the table. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I will say, if anybody's listening who has not really engaged too much in mocktails when like going out with friends, if you're interested, just a little personal anecdote. I went bar hopping in New Orleans with some friends when we were out visiting the city. We like took a trip out there together. And I remember one of the bars we went to, I decided to get a mocktail just because like it looked good. And honestly, it was so good, this mocktail, that I went back to New Orleans a couple months later for a business trip. And I went to that bar specifically just to order this mocktail in like the middle of the day and do nothing else. So give a mocktail a try if you typically only stick with alcohol, but you're interested in like just trying out some other drinks that feel kind of fancy and fun. Definitely try it out. And I would say definitely try out some of the ones from this book. I do want to ask Julia, what are some of your favorite mocktails from your book?
Sorry, you just gave me a genius idea and I'm just writing it down. Sorry. I'll explain in a second. Sure. No, because one thing I was like thinking about is like back when I was in the bar before, you know, the 2020 pandemic shut everything down. I will say like, I'm really glad to hear you had that experience in New Orleans. Like that's fucking awesome. Especially because I got invited to go back out there in November, but I was also like, I'm going to be pregnant. So this is not... Like, yeah. How am I going to survive in like cocktail haven, craft cocktail haven of the world? And so hearing that they had amazing mocktails, like that makes me really happy. But I will say like, I know that for not every establishment, like I'm still bummed when I go somewhere and they just don't have like mocktail options, you know? So I'm hoping more places will start to do that. One thing that I do wish, because like when I was circling back, so apologize. The circle connects. It's just sometimes I don't go in a linear path.
It's all good. We love circles here.
Yeah. And like I said, part of like how me learning to make like mocktails is to like serve my community, right? And so that's why I did it when I first got into mixology. And so I'd always be grateful when I got to be someone's bartender when they were like either the designated driver or were sober and just going out at the bar to be with their friends. Because if they got me as a bartender, I would always ask them what kind of flavors they liked, you know, how they wanted to feel. And I would put together a custom drink on the spot for them. I do that with cocktails too, but with mocktails, it was a lot more fun because when you're with the alcohol and you don't have to center the drink around the alcohol, there's so much flavor expression you can get. And so that was always my favorite thing to do because a lot of times those establishments back then, and hopefully more in the future, it won't be that way, wouldn't really offer options to people like that. And so being able to do that was meaningful. And the reason why I was saying that you gave me this idea, I was like, you know what? If I had one magical power, it would be that every time a witch goes to a bar, whether they're sober or drinking a cocktail, I just wish that I was their bartender. You know, like I could just magically appear or like have a traveling bar shop or something, because that's just like really bartending for the community is what means the most to me. So I was like, maybe that's a cool fiction book to write. I don't know.
What is your favorite drink in the book?
So that's a hard one for me because it's like choosing my favorite child. and I do love them. I mean, they're all like for different moments, right? Because they're organized by intentionality. So like the fact that I had Lunar Passion yesterday, so fucking good. And that's what I keep thinking of. But the couple of key ones, the Moon Goddess Colada, Lunar Passion. I mean, I just made that. So that's fresh on my mind. and where is it? The Cherry Blossom Beverage. I mean, they're all so good. Or something simpler, the Hibiscus Lavender Iced Tea. That's one I would make like every time my uncle would come over. And so it's just really good for bringing like harmony and good times and stuff like that. But I cannot get over that Lunar Passion from yesterday. So
I'm definitely going to have to try that one out.
Yeah. Which ones were calling to you?
Yeah, so I made a whole list of different ones and I even have the page number. So if anybody is following along, so I'm interested in, I'm just going to go through the whole list. The Mango Mandarin Road Opening Cocktail on page 51, the Summer Sipper on page 89, the Fairy Fun Mocktail on page 97, which I'm especially excited for because my birthday's coming up and I'm doing like a dark enchanted forest theme for it. So might have to look into that one. The Rose Remembrance on 155, the Coffee Clove and Cinnamon Notini on 173 because I love an espresso martini and that reminded me of that. Yes. And the Pumpkin Moon Mocktail on page 175 because I'm a basic pumpkin loving bitch. So that looked really good.
Me too. Love it. Yeah. I Love it. Honestly, you know, it's so many of these drinks have stories that as you're saying them. So like the Summer Sun Sipper, you know what's funny about them? When if you look at the picture, the drink looks really dark. And so when I made that recipe, I didn't realize that there was something, I think there's like purple raspberries. So I'd actually used purple raspberries for the recipe and I didn't really know that, but it just, they tasted like normal raspberries to me. So if you want them to be that dark purple color, otherwise it will be a little like lighter. That's I guess the thing of shopping at Costco, but
it looked pretty tropical to me, so I was about it.
Yeah, it's delicious either way. Like the type of raspberry didn't change the flavor at all, but it was like, I didn't even know purple raspberries were a thing until I was like, I'm making this drink again, why isn't it that same deep color?
Well, hey, you know, a good little tip to know from the people who are listening to this podcast that it's not in the book.
Yeah.
Well, Julie, as we've mentioned in the beginning of the episode, we are going to be hosting a giveaway for this book. So that is very exciting. If you are interested in entering that giveaway, we'll have more on our Instagrams. So follow our Instagram for more information of how to enter this. If you want to find me, you can find me on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft. And Julia, if you want to provide yours so that listeners can find
you. Yes. I am at Witchcraft Cocktail on Instagram.
Perfect. And I will have this linked in the bio. I do want to ask more of your social media information. But before I do that, before I forget, I ask everybody at the end of every episode, what's one piece of advice you could give to a beginner? Doesn't have to be related to what we talked about, but what would that one piece of advice be?
You know what? This might just be where I'm at right now in my personal practice in life, but there's so much free information online. It just gets so overwhelming and it's hard to know what to navigate. And sometimes, I don't know, I get like analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
Too many things to choose between. Yes. So like really just start with where you're at, what you need right now in this moment, and find something that's easy for you to integrate. It doesn't have to be an elaborate ritual. Can be something small as like imbuing your water with intention, but whatever it is that's just gonna like keep you to it and get you started, that's the place to put your energy into.
Awesome. Very sound piece of advice. So with that said, as you mentioned, you're on Instagram, but where else could the listeners find you?
Yeah, the best place, obviously, because we do not own the social platforms, as recent political events, you know, have shown us. I've gotten some warnings recently, so definitely, yeah, my website, witchcraftcocktails.com, is the best place. It links to all my socials. I'm starting to stream on Twitch and YouTube, so if you want to catch like a live stream to chat in the moment, those are fun places, but the website is going to be the best place to find current links in case something happens to any other profile.
Amazing. And you can also find me on Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast, but my Instagram is really where all the things are. So Julia, thank you so much for coming on and sharing details about your very delicious looking book. I definitely have my list of mocktails I want to make. And as always, it's such a pleasure talking to you. I really always have so much fun. And I'm seriously so impressed with this book. And I really hope that everybody takes the chance and the time to check it out, because it really is incredible. And you can see all the time and care and effort that you put into it.
Thank you. That means the world to me. And I always love talking to you too. So thank you like for having space for me. And even when you did the energy work with me a while back, like it was meaningful that you took the time for that. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, if anybody's interested in energy work, again, with Julia, hit her up. She was great.
Sorry not to plug that, but I was just like, I forgot about that until you mentioned that earlier. And I was like, you know what? Like, I just appreciate you took the time, you know, to do that. So
I'm grateful. I appreciated the reading. It was wonderful. Well, thank you everybody for listening. And we will be in touch with the giveaway information. And I hope you all have a great rest of your day or evening when you're listening to this. Bye.
Bye.